Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to promescent.com. That's promescent.com. There is not even a promo code. It don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, Ron Funches comes on the show. And, of course, James Madden steps in. Why? You know, we do two shows a week. Usually Jay's on one and a co-host is on the other. Really cool guy. Really nice guy. Really fun episode. Good dude. Don't forget, we do the show twice a week. Every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Exclusively on Gas Digital Live, 9 p.m. And then these episodes come out 5 days later. Anywhere you would consume a podcast. And if you use the code SDR, you get 20% off at Gas Digital with that HD, with that commercial free, with that live chat, and all those other things. But really, all we care about is you watching on YouTube, listening on your favorite podcast app, and spreading the love. And while you're at it, head over to podcastmerch.com/SDR and pick up a t-shirt, hat, mug, one of those things. But here it is right now, the Ron Funches episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back with my nearly almost permanent second in command co-host. I would say after Big J Okerson, it is James Madden. How are you, buddy?
My self-esteem has never been higher, Ralph. Yeah, baby boy.
You've been pretty consistent lately as the other guy. Jay does Wednesdays, you do Saturdays, pretty much almost every week.
Yo, I like being the backup quarterback, baby. Just get me in the fourth quarter, bro. I got this game, dog.
Don't do sports references with me. You know I don't get them.
So. I mean, you understand what a quarterback is.
Yeah, I get it. All right, well, I'm just trying to set the stage here. Shannon producing from home with her beautiful purple on and looks great. And right now, just a really cool dude. You might know him from various TV shows like Undateable, BoJack Horseman, Black-ish, and new movie coming out, or just came out today, I think, called A Tale Dark and Grim, and his podcast, Getting Better, which I'm fascinated by also because I have a health and wellness podcast too, so we'll get into it. It is Ron Funches. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. Thank you for having me. I love seeing these backgrounds. It really gives us all each other's personality. You can really tell whose rooms need a feminine touch, and then that Shannon, you live in a magazine, apparently.
Well, mine, Ron, just so you know, I'm in my house. We have a studios in New York, but on the Saturdays, I tape in my house. And I put this ugly screen up just because people were complaining about what was behind me. So I just found some stupid screen so they don't see that. And then now, of course, they complain about the screen. But
What was behind you that they hated?
There was like my bike and like some gym equipment. And then you could sometimes see the rest of my apartment. And I don't know why, just the aesthetic of it wasn't great. I think fair enough. So I just bought a screen, and now I see they have screens that look like a Shannon background. So you could put up a screen that looks nice, but I just don't know if I want to spend another few hundred dollars on a third screen because my first screen was too dark and it looked like I was in space.
No, I get it. I say put the screen down, let people back in, hide things in the background, make a little mystery, an Easter egg hunt for them to find.
That's a good idea. I like that. You're thinking well. I think it's a good idea. Maybe I will. I just... I get annoyed with the comments. I'm sure you are used to getting tons of comments online. I just get annoyed. I try not to read them, but you know, when, and especially something as insignificant as my fucking background, especially when 97% of our audience is audio, why do you care? But they fucking care.
I get it. I understand, especially, I mean, you try to avoid it and you understand that with the person who would take the time to make a comment like that, you're like, what's your day about? You got a lot of free time. Apparently.
Yeah. My new one to say to people when they say something really shitty is, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. That's my response to them.
That is a good one. I like that.
It's just an easy response because it's hard to come out of that. Because if they say, I'm not having a fucking bed, whatever they're going to say, it's going to look like they're having a bad day.
you trap them.
Yeah. It's my chess move. They can't really respond without saying anything.
Oh, so you gaslight them. That's how you do
it. That's how I do it, buddy. That's how I roll. I want to start off just really quickly with a show that I loved that you played King Shark on, which was Harley Quinn. I know it's coming back for a third season in theory.
Yeah, you said that. Post-mortem. Wow.
Well, I know it's coming back for a third season, but I saw the first two, right? I just loved it. The first obvious question is, there was just a big Harley Quinn movie. Was there a point where you were potentially offered to do that, or that was never even on the docket to voice that one?
That was never brought to my attention at all. I was unaware of the film until I saw the trailer. So I was quite upset.
I could imagine.
Yes. As the one true King Shark, I don't like these inferior portrayals by actors that people don't care about anymore. I want people to know that King Shark is new and aggressive and happy, and he's a king, and he can talk, he can say more than hand. It's ridiculous. The portrayals that they try to do.
Was it Sylvester Stallone? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it
was.
Right?
You have a kinship with Stallone now. You have a kinship. When you meet each other, you'll lock eyes and be like, King Shark, and he'll be like, yeah, King Shark.
And I also am starting a petition that he has to now allow me to take one of his roles.
Oh, so that's a good idea. Rambo, Rambo Funches.
Or Rocky, either one. I'm down for both. I just be like, hi, Adrian.
You know, what's funny.
Let's remake Over the Top with you, Ron.
I'm all about it.
Just so I'm clear, instead of Yo, Adrian, you've switched it to Hi, Adrian. You think
Hi,
it's more,
Adrian. I love her. I'm not going to say yo to my lady.
That's fair. It makes sense. Totally makes sense. In general, though, I thought both were interesting portrayals, but we had a kid on the show a couple weeks ago, the band Grandson, and he has one of the songs in the soundtrack. How he got in the soundtrack was he just DM'd, what's his name, James Gunn, right? That's who did it, right? And he DM'd him, so you probably should have just DM'd him, and maybe they would have redone the dialogue.
Oh, that's what I'm hoping for, a Funches cut. Can we do that?
We just recut the lines, why not?
Yeah,
it's not that many lines. He just says, like, hand or smile or eat or whatever.
Bird. Yeah. I can
all right,
do
now,
that.
I read, which is fascinating to me, that you would elect to do this, and maybe it's a year ago now, that you got married during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Was that because you don't have to invite everybody?
Yeah, you get it. You first of all, you said it like it was bad, and then you immediately understood the positives of it. Yes. No one, we didn't have to invite people we didn't like, any racist relatives. They all had to stay away. It was actually turned out great, you know, especially I've been married before. We made a big production out of it, mostly probably to hide the fact that we weren't meant to be together. And this one was more low key. We just got married, four of us, two of my friends, me and my wife, and then we just came back, ate some butter cake from Mastro's, watched 90 Day Fiance, went to bed. I was like, this is gonna be a good marriage.
That's good. And then you also, I guess the way you vetted your wife was to play Super Mario with her to see if you would get into arguments or not, and that worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, it's just we game together, and I think it teaches you a lot about your significant other. They can handle pressure, they're good communicators. So we went through the Super Mario world, we beat every level, and I was like, by the end of it, I'm like, we're ready to get married. Oh. And if we can make it through Yoshi's Island, maybe we can have a baby.
That's fair.
If you play Yoshi Island, you understand that's a beautiful joke and reference I just made.
It's a good litmus test, I would say. Yes, James.
I'll just clap it for my boy Ron, baby. I'm having a good time, man. Yoshi Island, baby. I'm going to get that as my next tattoo out of tribute to that wonderful reference and joke, baby.
And you said in an interview that she got mad at you because of your honesty when you were going away, and you said you're gonna miss me, and you said probably not, and that just because you're an honest guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So she likes it now because she knows if I say I miss her, I really miss her. But I'm like, I'm gonna be busy. I'm gonna be working. You're probably gonna miss me because you're gonna be at home.
Yeah. But
you wouldn't miss me.
In my one long-term relationship, I dated a girl for almost 7 years, and she lived with me for 4 or 5 of them, right? Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, she just was like a stay-at-home girlfriend. She stopped working, and she just staying at home. And she, as soon as I got home, all of her attention was focused on me, every little nuance about me, and she had no outside life. And I was like, well, if you were doing other things, you wouldn't give a shit about me. You're just only focusing on me because you have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You want to have a balance, two independent lives that come together to have more fun together. And that's what I try to do. And also I never want to be in a relationship where we're just like every day, just like, I miss you. I hear it every day. My neighbor next door, him and his wife, she goes off to work and she's like, I love you. He don't say it back. So I know they got trouble.
You know what's weird? And my other co-host, Big J. Ogerson, his girlfriend, they've been together, I think, I don't even know how many, 9, 10 years, something, ever. A long time. But she is his manager, sort of, like his day-to-day manager. She's the producer of their radio show. And I would say 90% of the time they're with each other. To me, it would be a weird thing when I say, hey, guess what happened to me today? And the answer would be, I know what happened here. I was fucking standing right next to you the whole time. There's no stories to share because you're in every story together. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird to me.
It's different strokes, different folks. Everybody can be as close as they. Some people can be that close together. My wife and I work together a little bit on some things, but also I have to have. I'm just a hermit. I like being by myself. So, right. She's not here right now. She's in another country. I'm okay.
And by the way, I think the key to a healthy relationship is being comfortable by yourself. Because there's a lot less chance of having a codependent relationship if you're okay with being alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about that for deep thought, James?
Makes me feel good as 43 and single because I love being alone. So now you're giving me a glimmer of hope. You've just
51
cracked.
And single, man. 51 and single. Why not?
You've cracked open the door just a little bit. You've given me a little bit of hope is seeping through, my friend.
So, Ron, you're so synonymous with this like soothing voice and very likable persona, which I assume is just really just who you are. So it kind of freaked me out a little bit when I watched you on some GCW wrestling thing where you got in someone's face. You were violent. You were cursing. I never saw that side of you. Is that like where the teddy bear goes wild? Like, what's the story behind all of that, please? And I know nothing about wrestling, but James does.
Yeah, I could tell from the Lucha Brothers. Sure, you got to. I'm a full functioning man. Just because I have a voice like this and I'm like to be sweet and charming and treat people with respect and treat people positively, but I always say I'm not a nice person. I'm an energy mirror. I come at you with the positivity, hoping you will reflect that back to me. But if you come at me with another way, I don't have a problem adjusting course. And that's what this guy, Tony Deppen, did. He's been a real jerk to me. I'm a positive to the wrestling community. I'm a sweet person. I go on television. I talk about my love of wrestling. I've never been ashamed of it. Also, I'm healthy and not overnourished or undernourished like a lot of professional wrestling fans. So I'm just a good representative, but he doesn't respect that. He wants to talk trash about me like I'm chasing clout by going to these independent wrestling shows. It's like, I'm on TV, you dummy. And so now I gotta teach him a little bit of respect.
And you called him out on a date. You said the 17th. Is that actually happening?
Yeah, Game Changer Wrestling. The show is called Highest in the Room, which is appropriate for me to be on. And it's going to be on pay-per-view on Fight TV. I think you can get it for like $12. It's already sold out in LA. But if you want to watch it, just go to Fight TV. It's more than just me, who has never been a professional wrestler in his life. There's actual great, great professional wrestlers. Nick Gage, who's been killing it. There's a gentleman named Too Cold Scorpio, who I grew up just a big fan of. And also a guy who just wrestled on TV this last Wednesday, Minoru Suzuki, who's a Japanese legend.
So now how much work goes into your pre-planning of the fight here? Are you training with someone or are you just going to wing it? Like how, what is happening with you for that?
I'm going to fight him. I'm not,
no prepping, no planning. No, you're not training with anyone. You're just winging it.
Just going to fight him. I don't plan to, like, I mean, it's just, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be like the other matches. I'm just going to come out swinging. It's going to be like when Bart and Lisa got into a fight on The Simpsons. I'll swing my arms windmill style.
You're not watching old Billy Robinson videos on YouTube, the old snake pit?
I've been watching more like Mr. Food. I'm like, okay, throw salt in his face. Like,
love salt in his face.
Bring barbed wire in or something like that.
Well, claw? If you bring barbed wire, it can be turned. It still exists after you have it. So it could be used on me. So, but if I throw the salt's gone.
Yeah, salt's gone. Yeah, that's a good point. James?
Dude, Ralph, I did a wrestling roast with Ron about 3 years ago this weekend. Mm-hmm. And Ron's the nicest dude. Like you say, you think it, his roast, he so coldly destroyed everyone in the room. It was insane.
Love it.
He was the only person of color on the dais. And so a lot of those jokes came and you could just see Ron was like, okay, wait till you get a load of me. And he tore motherfucker. It was brilliant. It was the best. And it was like, I'm never going to even look at him again. I'm scared. Fucking with Ron, that soft ass voice is the old still water runs deep shit. You're going to win that fucking match, baby. I'll come out there and throw some salt too for you, baby.
Yeah, let's all bring some salt.
I'll do a run in, Ron.
I listened to your interview with Eddie Griffin, Eric Griffin, sorry, who was on our show recently. And you talked about, like, during the pandemic, how you and him both said this. You always just identified as a comic. And then as you are forced to kind of realize, oh, I'm not going to be on stage anymore. You start realizing there's other facets to who you are. And I'd say that roast kind of goes with that. I think it's always weird. And James, I'm sure you could back me up on this too. Every time I get together with comedians, I'm not a comic, very obviously, but when comics get together, 99% of the time, all they do is talk comedy, nothing else. What room did you play? This crowd, blah, blah, blah. And I think this pandemic has forced you guys to start having other facets to your personality, or at least embracing the other facets to your personality.
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, it's something that I was trying to do in my life. Anyway, as I was getting older and just learning that having such a obsessive nature about anything is not productive, it's not positive. But definitely with the pandemic and not having it at all, it just forced me to look outside of it. And I was like, oh, that's true. I was going to say just as much, almost as much of a rush, just being a dad, just hanging
out. That's great.
You
that's
know,
cool.
Like, it's more fulfilling. Is it as big of a rush? No, but I get almost as much of a rush as that. I have fun just being a good husband. I have fun just doing, I mean, a big part of it is like this wrestling thing for me is like, right. I've always wanted to be in a wrestling ring and have a match my whole life. But, I never thought I would do it. But now I'm like, well, who knows? Who knows when I'll freaking just die from anything. So I'm going to go get in there and beat the shit out of Tony Depp. And it's, right. If I get hurt, I get hurt. That's fine. But I'm trying to just enjoy all aspects of my life more.
And from what I saw, your first fist fight ever ended up in you getting some free pot.
Yeah, definitely. So it always works out well.
Sure, fine.
All right, before we go any further, hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. Let me tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. It's rockauto.com. They've been in business for 20 years. They make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order parts, who aren't really sure what you're looking for or never quite have what you need. And then after all that hassle, they will still charge you storefront markups. Head over to rockauto.com. You can easily find everything you need, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car. Everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. How confident are they? No promo code needed. Just go to rockauto.com, but make sure when you make that order, you tell them you heard about them at the SDR show. Go to rockauto.com now. All right, let's get back into it.
And also a couple other quick things. You just shot a pilot, which I thought was a brilliant idea, in Europe, where, and correct me if I'm wrong, comedians do their set and then two comedians have to swap set sort of and put their own spin on it. But you seem to be pretty confident that it wasn't going to come out.
I say, prove me wrong, Comedy Central. Show me that you do comedy still, I guess. I'm open to it. We'll see. I mean, I think it turned out very well. I try to be I'm more cautiously optimistic. So when everybody is like, oh, this is good, this is great, this is going to come out for sure. And I'm just like, well, I look at the landscape of there's 24 hours in a day and they already tie up 23 with the Office reruns. So there's probably, you know, it's a small chance.
I think you freaked out James so much you had to back up a little bit.
Yeah, no,
I'm sorry. So I'm not like a handy dude, and my chair, I don't do a good job of like bolting my chair. A bolt fell out, so I was about to eat it, and I wanted to save myself the embarrassment because Ralph will hold this against me for 13 years, Ron. Yeah. So I could now that it's exposed through the fourth wall, I'll turn off the camera and I'll fix the fucking thing. But I have a bed here. I might.
Yeah, you're fine there. You're fine there. If you're comfortable, stay there. Yeah. Ron, he didn't make his bed once on an episode, and I gave him so much shit. Now he will never do the show without his bed made. So I feel like I helped make life go a little better.
Yeah. Ron, when we're talking about him with the goddamn background, and he's like, all these people give me shit about the background, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're having a bad day. This son of a bitch gives me the grief about this shit all the time. I almost jumped in on him. Now it's full circle. I'm slamming the mic, and I'm throwing salt in your eye, Ralph.
I kind of want to see you, I kind of want to see you bite it on the chair. I'd love to see that happen, but that's all right. Be where you are.
Ron, can you get me and Ralph in the undercard when they come to back to New Jersey?
As long as I can, if I could bring salt, I'm fine. I think I'll take you. I'm 6'5". I think I'm fine.
Yeah, that's why I'll be the baby face at 5'10 and a half, the same height since fifth grade. People are going to love me, baby.
They love a scrappy underdog.
I'm the new Daniel Bryan, bitch.
Just because of my size, if I was younger, I'm too old now. I'm going to be 52 soon. It's too old. If I was in my 30s or even early 40s, I would feel okay to do it. But at 52, it's not going to end well for me. There's no fight. Even if I win, I'm going to lose with the pain I'm going to be in for the next month.
Yeah, it might be too late to start, but you could still do it if you had started already.
Yes,
there's wrestlers that are fit. I saw a guy wrestle in Chicago this last weekend. He was 73 years old.
Yeah. Well, because there's muscle memory and shit like that. So
he never stopped. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I will say this, and I mean, we'll segue into your podcast about getting better, which you lost some weight. You're caring more about your mental wellness and your physical wellness. I had gained a shit ton of weight, and I started running during the pandemic. I run 22 miles a week. I never started running before I was 50. Mm. So I see that your body does want to adapt. So maybe if I really want to wrestle, I could start now. I kind of really want to beat up James. So maybe I start now.
Let's have the match, baby.
Let's do it. You could wrestle with a shirt on. No one care. Do it.
That's fine. So have you learned some lessons on getting better about getting yourself in a better headspace?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I actually really enjoy about the show. I like putting it out, but mostly it's really fun to get these people who accomplished a lot of things or have made it to places I want to go or have just been through a lot of shit and to talk to them and ask them their advice and to have these hour conversations with people like I've had like Conan O'Brien on the show and Whitney Cummings and Stone Cold Steve Austin. They bring it back to wrestling and talk to like some of these people who like Stone Cold at one point, Stone Cold Steve Austin was legitimately one of the like most famous people in the world.
Yeah.
And
then
talk to him about what that felt like and then having to retire and to find a new purpose in life. It helps me humanize a lot of things. This really was the point of it for me. I felt like as I was getting more successful in comedy, I'd always been a very positive person and doing a lot of affirmations on Twitter and things like that. And people seem to take them better when I wasn't successful. And then as I got more successful, they were like, well, yeah, it's easy for you to be positive. You're doing this, you're doing that. And the whole point of getting better was to kind of be like, you know, there is no like making it. It's all about this constant like struggle to climb that next mountain. That's what I like talking to people about. It makes me feel better.
I don't think there's a single person on the planet that says, oh, no, I'm good. I'm perfectly healthy and fine. I don't need any help. I'm good right now. I don't know anyone that thinks that way is not in a good headspace, I would imagine. Do you also now feel that the podcast has helped you focus more because you're bringing these stories on and you've looked at your life differently because of these people?
Yeah, it definitely helps me focus more and just keeps me in more of a neutral mind state instead of being always what do I got to do next? What can I do next to get to the next level? And just more about enjoying my life and finding that, you know, happiness is a real personal thing and right. What my happiness doesn't have to match up with someone else's. And I love that. But mostly what I really like is like when the reason why I still do it, because it's not like it makes me really any money at all or is that big of a podcast, but I get so much great feedback from people when I see them on the street. Like when I was in Chicago for the wrestling event, I just ran into people and it's one thing when people are like, oh man, I like your jokes. I like you. You're so funny. Mm-hmm. Or I like this bit. It's a whole nother thing. And they're like, man, your podcast helped me. Your podcast got me out of a bad situation and made me feel better when I needed it. Had people tell me that my podcast, like the one I did with Whitney Cummings, it helped this lady realize that she was in a toxic relationship and that she needed to leave. And like getting messages like that makes me feel like I'm actually doing something,
right, and making a difference in other people's lives other than making them laugh, although laugh is a
yeah, it's also good. Yeah,
also good. One where you and I are kindred spirits is that I love to get my manis and petties.
Hell,
I just,
yeah,
got one yesterday. But you said in an interview, any part of you that might go into your significant other, you need to take care of. Where I get the mani, but what do you do with your petties that I should know about?
don't king shame me. Never know what's going to happen where my big toe may go.
Don't kink shame me. I'm going to use that as a good line. That's power show.
Good.
And then this is crazy. I'm sure you're sick of talking about a couple of these things, but I don't think everybody knows these stories, that you were going to be the host of a show called The Ultimate Slip and Slide Show over the summer, and it stopped because of a massive diarrhea outbreak.
Yes, that
was
is
that
true.
On set? Was that in the slides? Like, what actually happened?
Geysers, people on their knees, butts in the air, just geysers flying.
Oh my God!
Where you felt like it was while they were on the slides?
No,
oh,
no. Yeah, what do you think?
That's I thought they like shit their pants as they were going like, down the
they're
slide.
They're just being propelled down
yeah.
the slide.
It was
by
a great visual
diarrhea.
For me.
The ratings would have been great. That's all I'm saying. People want to be in denial.
Say.
Yeah.
I said, why cancel it? People were interested. They want to know what happened. Who got the diarrhea? Who could handle the diarrhea and still go down the slide? I don't see why they canceled it. It was a great time. Me and Bobby Moynihan. It was so much fun. It was a dream summer job. And I, you know, but you got to. A friend of mine just told me a long time ago, you don't have a career in this business until weird shit like this happens to you.
So, did you make it through any episodes? Like, did you actually film a few?
We made it through 8 episodes.
Wow. Oh, and they're just going to trash it? That's yeah. fucking weird.
I know. It sucks. But at least I got the money. So I'll take that. In some ways, it's fun because then it's like I got secret money that nobody knows.
Sure.
Where'd you get that money, Ron? Oh, that poop show. Oh, word. Like that.
The poop show. All right. So now this is a major topic that you've been talking about for months, but I feel that it needs to be addressed again. Because, again, not everybody knows everything you've done, but it was a big
Most
comment.
People don't know anything I've done.
Right. That's true, too. You said on a tweet that OutKast is better than the Beatles.
Yes.
Right?
I do. Yes.
And I listened to you vehemently argue it, right? Which first of all, can I ask how old you are? Do you mind?
38.
All right. So that's a big difference, number one. We're almost 20 years apart. You know, it's 15 years apart, 14 years apart. But I would agree that in your lifetime, OutKast had far more significance. But in the grand scheme of the music industry, you can't say that that would be true when you look at album sold, gold records, ticket sales, blah, 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 bands that came after it on a whole scheme from birth of music to now. But if you look at modern music, It's, I would agree with you. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but it makes sense in that way that you know I'm right, but because you're older, you don't want to feel obsolete. So you have to say,
no, I feel obsolete
in the grand
every day.
Scheme of things.
Every day
I'm still right, but overall, you know that no, Ron is right. I'm right. The Outkast is amazing. Everything still jams. The Beatles got a few hot tracks, but other than that, like, I mean, we just look at, you say the people that came after them, you get like, you got some good people, but you got a lot of bad people. Outkast, you got the whole Dungeon family. You got Erykah Badu, who was with Andre 3000. And then you got to counteract that with Yoko Ono. I'm going to take Erykah Badu over Yoko Ono.
I'll take Erykah Badu over Yoko Ono as well. I think
Yoko would be a fun hang. This is where I get in trouble with people. I kind of want to bump into her when I'm on the Upper West. I'm like, I'd like to have shots with Yoko. I want to just see where that goes. I just want, why not? I bet she talks a lot of shit after a couple shots.
For years the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there was a chair in the Rock and Roll, the phone next to it. It was donated by Yoko Ono, and she would call randomly and just talk to who was ever there. She did that for years.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
She got free time. No, what's she got to do? What's she got
What is Outkast? I don't even know. What is Outkast doing these days? The last time,
Andre 3000 just put out the hottest verse of the year with Kanye West on a track that he got cut off of. And then they put it out, and then people were like, this is the best verse of the entire year. So that's what he's been up to. What the Beatles been up to.
They've been dead.
I mean, you know, they just changed music, Ron, but it's okay. I mean, I get
what
it.
They've been
you
up
like,
to
there's
today.
One hot.
What they've
they have
been
like
up
a couple
to today.
Hot tracks. It's hilarious. A couple of hot.
Outkast moved the entire hip hop industry from New York and L.A. to Atlanta.
But you could argue that's the like, Beatles created like, the music industry.
They
kind of
created the music industry.
Make the music
they
industry?
They made it a viable like source of income that wasn't really done before.
I don't feel like they made it.
I don't know. I wasn't there at the time, but I feel like, I don't know. I get what you're saying in terms of from like, let's say 1990 forward, but it's hard to look at it.
That's when they existed. Yes. Right. What do you mean? No, true.
I guess what I'm saying, but here's my difference. If you're looking from the dawn of the music industry to now versus 1990 only forward, does that make sense?
My man, you still make the music industry like they, what the, so what was Beethoven doing, my man? What are you talking about?
He wasn't selling records.
What was Mozart
doing, they weren't selling records.
No records.
There were no records.
Yeah, because there wasn't no record players. What do you mean?
So there was no music industry.
So if the Beatles, but if they just happened to be there then.
Well, no. So Seton and I discussed this. You know Seton Smith. We discussed this because we're big like jazz fans too.
Uh-huh.
And
also, I don't also want to back off. Like, I do respect the Beatles. Okay.
I don't think you do.
Like
I didn't take that from that statement at all.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because it seemed like, but I also just love this argument. So let's keep going.
It's a fun argument. Just so you know, before I even finish this one, I was in a car ride going to do a road gig with Nathan McIntosh, and he went on a rant about hating the Beatles and said they were trash and named like one-hit wonders of the 80s or better. This is the closest I've ever come to homicide, and I'm from Vegas. I almost opened up a car door and shoved him out on the way to Fishkill, New York. I was like, you're just ignorant. I can't with this. It brought out real anger out of me, which is funny because I'm defending the band that sang All We Need Is Love. So it really defeats the purpose. But Miles Davis supposedly was angry that he never sold a million records. And C and I discussed it. That wasn't really a thing. Like going platinum was so rare because people didn't buy records. The Beatles, that is the one argument I'll say on this. Is that's when records really started
when
going
record
platinum.
Became an industry. It became an industry.
There was a teen industry that started with that wave of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It started a little bit.
Oh, so it's almost like you're saying they were the NSYNC of the time, and that now you're saying NSYNC is the best band of all time. It's like,
if NSYNC put out 15 gold records, maybe I would.
Two of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Bye Bye Bye. It was amazing.
And the best bass player of all time. Paul McCartney's the best rock bass player of all time.
I love Paul McCartney.
And I'm a bass player. Or was, whatever.
And you say, what influence? I think Paul McCartney influenced millions of people to be a vegan. That became a big thing for him, right? That's a big part of his legacy, too.
Is that a positive or negative?
I guess it depends on how you look at health. Shannon's a vegan, so I don't
know. Isn't Andre 3000
I can
vegan?
See that in her shine. Yeah, you shiny like a vegan.
Didn't Andre 3000 do a weird, I never saw it, but he did a Jimi Hendrix movie, didn't he?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, but they didn't get any of the music licensed. That I remember. So that's it was all music that sounded like Jimi Hendrix music.
That's a tough
thing. Wasn't actually.
Yeah, that's real tough, dog.
It is kind
of
weird.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You said that Andre was going to send you a gift for your tweet. What did you wanted a non-working flute. Is that what he sent you?
I did want a non-functional flute. No, he said I can actually grab it. Maybe. Hopefully you won't see that I'm not wearing pants, but we'll see.
Well, we already do see, but thank you.
Buddy, you're doing good. You're doing great, Ron.
He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy. Ralph, it's crazy, though. I do go to blind rage on that argument for some reason. Not blind, but it brings out the Italian in me. It's really wild.
He gave me some art that he signed.
Buddy.
Yeah, that he made.
That's nice.
And he's got a little card that he wrote that you can't see because of the glare. But it's like one of my prized possessions.
I think he's probably going to be far more influential in the music industry than the art industry. Pow! Zoom!
Nice. I like that the video people are going to get to see my marijuana leaf underwear.
Good for you, baby. Be who you is, baby.
Always.
You mentioned this a little bit going back to your podcast and that you have a mantra. Do you still do that mantra before every set that you do? The few sets you're doing now with lockdowns and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, when I remember, yes. I did it last night at Largo. Yeah. So when I still remember to do it, sometimes I don't remember. But when I remember to, I try to still do my mantra before my sets. Yeah.
Are there any lessons that someone imparted during one of your episodes of Getting Better that you're like, well, fuck, I'm going to start doing that now. Like, that's a part of my life now.
Yeah, a lot of people have. What's his name? I only know him by his Twitter name now. Ryan Hurst, Rambo Donkey Kong. I think he's a great actor. He's on, he played Beta on The Walking Dead. I think he was in Friday Night Lights. He's done a lot of great acting in different things. I think he's in the Black Widow movie. I'm not sure exactly. But either way, he gave me a great one about living life in neutral, about not being so pushy, not being pulled, but about just trying to live in this neutral state of being prepared and being ready. And that was very helpful for me. And then the comedian Angela Johnson, just at a time when I was really working on a lot of projects and saying yes to everything and kind of overworking myself, she gave me, I mean, that's what usually is like I get the advice right when I need to hear it. And so she told me, she gave great advice about like looking at your career like a garden, and that you can't grow everything in a garden, and that you have to attend to what's important to you and which crops really matter the most is the ones that you need to give them your attention. And you got to be willing to let some other crops wither and die if they don't mean that much to you. Mm-hmm. And that just having that as a visual really helped me, because before I think I just tried to be like, no, anything you want me to do, anything I have to do. And even when like I was doing auditions and stuff, I would do these auditions for roles, I was like, I'm the smarmy jerk in this, like I'm not gonna get this because I'm gonna smile halfway through this somehow. and now I just learned, like, you know what, I'm gonna just try to do things that showcase what I have instead of trying that, you know, showcase my strengths instead of trying to highlight my weaknesses. So I'm just leaning more into what I love.
In the different aspects, you do a lot of VO work for sure. You know, Trolls and like we said, Harley Quinn and whatnot, but you're acting, you're a comic, and you're doing the podcast. Is there one that right now in your head gives you the most joy, or you don't really know that right now?
I mean, before or recently, I would have just said stand up. Like, I always love stand up. I think I do love stand up in a special way because it was my first thing, and it was the thing that has produced everything else. And I kind of consider it like the source of things. It's actually, I'll probably say stand up because it's the only one that I will do for free. Like,
well,
you can't,
after your stand up,
I'm not doing a voiceover for free.
After you're wrestling and you become paralyzed, which of the other three?
Oh my God.
I'm not worried about it. He's worried about being paralyzed. After I get my hands on Tony Depp, and I still be able to stand up. I mean, you can do stand up in a wheelchair or whatever.
Yeah, I guess that's you're already on board with my theory. I like that.
I'm going the opposite. I think Ron's gonna have a winning streak after this. He's gonna stay in the game. He's gonna beat Moxley for the game changer belt, and that's what. And it breaks here, and then he can go back and go, guess who called it? Yo, Mattern called it, baby.
Yeah, I,
boy, the
I'm
caffeine's running out of me. I almost quit in the middle of that sentence. Sorry.
I'm just going to assume Ron gets those references because I didn't get any of those references. Yeah, but I'm sure
we could make up wrestlers, Ralph, and you'd have no idea. We could
for sure.
Except Gorgeous George was taking on fucking the Submariner. And
that sounds
like
something.
Right.
But you know, like when he said Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm like, he's got to be a superstar because I know who he is.
Yeah.
If I know who he is, he's a very famous wrestler.
Exactly.
I know John Cena. I know The Rock. I know maybe three others.
Do you know Bruno Sammartino?
I think you're making that up.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't know. Do you know? Do you know George the German Shepherd?
No, I don't.
Ralph, you're not familiar with George the German Shepherd's famous match in Nassau County Coliseum in 1983 against Hammerhead Williams?
Wow, you really stumbled on that one. I got to tell you that. You almost
had
me.
Yeah, you fucked it, James. God damn it, Ron. I always fuck it up. I'm about to fall in this chair, god damn it. Shannon was giggling, but Ralph was still almost. He was still
almost there.
Before.
I was almost there until the Hammerhead Williams.
What about Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
I think we're done, James. Oh, we love you. I'm making your bed now. Very good.
Lay down. Take a nap.
All right, before we go any further, probably our longest running sponsor, I think that's probably right. I could be wrong. It is Blue Chew. Blue Chew and their chewables, a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form at a fraction of the cost. You know, we'll be talking about them forever. Everybody at Gas Digital uses them. Everybody loves their chewables. Blue Chew, if you don't like swallowing pills, this is the answer. They're chewable. They act faster. It's an online prescription service. So that means no doctor visits, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy because it ships directly to your door in a discreet package and made in the USA. What more do you need? I'll tell you what. Get that first order free. You go to BlueChew.com, use the code SDR. That first month is completely free. Just pay the $5 shipping and handling. That's all it is. And that entire first month, completely free. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform in the bedroom, visit BlueChew.com. For more details and anything else you may need to know, go to BlueChew.com. But once again, thank you, Blue Chew. Thank you, the Chewables. All right, let's get back into it.
Is Chopped 420 coming back for a second season or no?
I hope so. It's not dead. I know that. People don't tell me anything until the last minute. So usually they're just like, hey, show up for this. But I would assume probably, yes. I'm going to say cautiously optimistic because it seemed like it did well for them. You know, maybe it'll just be a series they do every year around 420. But I haven't heard. I heard nothing but positive things, but I definitely have not heard about a season two yet.
And back in May, you said that your mom wanted to meet LeBron James for Mother's Day. Did you make that happen or did you screw it up?
Nice. Well, I mean, the pandemic screwed it. I didn't screw it up. What's still going to happen? She'll still get to sleep with LeBron James one day.
Oh, that's nice. That'd be, yeah. What a good son to make that happen.
Yes. And an excellent gift giver.
All right. And then just two last stories and then we'll do the questions. I know we don't have that much time with you. I like this story, so I'd like you to tell the whole thing, please, that you worked at Wachovia Bank and you got fired for returning too much money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I also got fired for not going to work that often. But so it was a combination of things. If someone called with a question that was too difficult, I tell them to call back tomorrow and then I just wouldn't come to work.
That's a good idea. Shannon does that at the studio sometimes, I think.
It was helpful. I hope they still were able to purchase the house they wanted. But yeah, I mean, the bank it was a negative time in my life, the opposite of where I am now, where I was doing things I hated. I always had issue with banks in general. I felt like they were, not above board and stealing people's money. And then I got to work at a bank and I was like, oh, everything I thought was true. Because they would just train you to not, you know, if someone was, especially during these days, this was during before I think Barack Obama passed some laws that changed some bank rules. But before, like, they had that, you know, available balance and true balance thing.
Right.
So you would, like, you know, not really have a real idea of what your balance was. And I get all these calls of people who overdrew their accounts by like $1, $2, $10, and they get $30, $60, $90, $150 in fees, you know. And we were always trained from like day one to just be like, you know, if they checked how many accounts they have, if they have a lot of accounts, if they're rich, give them their fees back. But if they can actually use the money, if they could actually, you know, if I showed them some kindness that would stop them from getting in this cycle of, you know, because I used to be in that cycle. My account get overdrawn, my check would hit, but obviously now I'm missing some money. So I'm headed right back to overdraw in the next month. And I was like, I always hated that. So I would just go through and I would find old fees from like years past or whatever. And I just give them back money. I wouldn't tell them. I keep it like a secret. I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna give you 30 back, but then I give them like 150, and then
oh wow,
like they're gonna have a fun day later.
And then they're also found out, be
scared to spend the money because they.
And then
did they actually have the conversations like, dude, we know you're just refunding thousands of dollars, and we gotta let you go? Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. They were just like, you're refunding too much. You're giving away, you know, as they put it, I was stealing from them. So, you know, they weren't happy with it. But also I had just started doing stand up. So I was on my way out the door.
Let me ask you, just to go backtrack for a second. Did you ever hear the Hey Ya acoustic cover that guy did that was popular for Outkast? You ever hear that cover?
No, I never heard.
Oh my God, it's great. I'm gonna send after. I'm gonna have Shannon send the link after this. And it's, oh, I can't.
Have you heard that Hey Jude acoustic cover that guy did 6 months ago?
Yes.
You did hear it.
Yeah, it's great.
No, well, I made it up because nobody did it.
I know. I was trying to see if I could get you on board, like you try to get me on board with the fucking wrestling.
Whoa, Ralph.
I almost had him. I thought maybe
Joe's the German Shepherd, man. He's great.
And Hammerhead Jackson, whatever the fuck his name was.
Yo, Hammerhead Jackson is the truth, baby.
And then lastly, then we'll do the first. You've been talking a lot about your 18, I think he's 18 year old son that is autistic.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you've done a lot for that awareness for autism, but you had Reebok sneakers designed specifically in honor of your son. Do you have those handy?
Yeah, they're in my closet. I can grab them if you want to see them.
Yeah, I'd like to see them. I think this is
okay.
Cool,
well, you're gonna
those.
See the underwear.
Yeah, I'm really doing it to see your underwear again.
You want
to
see more underwear, Ron?
I know what you want.
Come on, you gotta give people
see
what they
those
want.
Gams. Those gams. I'm sweating. My AC broke. I think.
Oh, Bubba's. Come on. Wrong.
I
day
get
for
angry.
That.
Like that was also last night when that chick wanted us to turn off the AC. Oh my God, I was dying.
Oh, I don't know. Was it fun? Was it a crazy night?
No. Shannon, why are you looking so perplexed?
I'm listening to you.
Oh, sorry.
Guys, this is the best, huh?
I like his angle, by the way.
He's a good angle.
Here we go. I got them. Yeah. They're Puma Clydes that I got made. Yeah, they're beautiful. They're very casual, nice white sneaker, but then I had the nice neon green accents on there. Mm-hmm. There's my name on the tongue, which I very much enjoy. And they had they have been a story about them. It was basically Foot Locker was trying to do an autism awareness thing every year. And they reached out to me about designing the sneakers. And I wanted to make some about my son. And he always, when he was younger, wore these big, bright green noise canceling earmuffs, these Peltors, and mm-hmm. I always liked the fact that he was never ashamed of that, and he always never, like, my son was always like, boom, I'm here and I'm bright green, I'm in your face, and I need these, they help me out. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I designed the sneakers around, with the neon green on them, and they have a picture, a silhouette of the headphones on the back of them. And we sold them all out, and I think we're going possibly, oh, here's an exclusive, we might do another shoe. I'm a shoe designer. Cool. Now
look at that, that's great.
There it is.
Yeah,
by the way, You know who had another, who else had a very in your face, like no holds barred, no care attitude, was a Hammerhead Jackson.
Yeah, that's Yo, true.
He made sneakers like no one's business, baby.
So maybe they do it once a year. So maybe for the next Autism Awareness Month that you're going to have another shoe out.
Yeah, hopefully in that time, maybe it might come out. We'll see what the time is, right? But yes.
That's great. All right, very cool. All right, Shannon, we got to do the first and then we'll wrap this up.
The first time ever I saw Concert Detroit.
As I told you, the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We ask everybody about their first experience with all three since the dawn of time. We start with rock and roll. And what we mean is the first concert you went to, doesn't have to be rock, obviously, but on your own volition. Somebody didn't drag you there. You said, I want to go see this show. And hopefully it's something we know.
Oh, okay. Can I still have been a kid? Okay. Morris Day in the Time.
Oh, that's a great one. I love that.
I loved it. And also, I think it inadvertently got me interested in stand up because they had a great stand up opener I think only stand ups know, but a gentleman by the name of Shucky Ducky, who was a Chicagoland native and a legend of that time period. But yeah, he'd always is that catchphrase that people like hamburger, who would say hamburger, and Shucky Ducky would say Shucky Ducky quack quack.
That was
the most hilarious thing in the world. And so I thank Shucky Ducky and Morris Day in the Time for getting me interested in my career.
How old were you at the time?
I think I was 6.
Oh wow, that's cool. That's very cool. So now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't the first drug you ever did.
Okay, after weed, it'd just be mushrooms. Those are the only two drugs I've ever done, is weed and mushrooms. And I like them apart and I love them together.
Good. And how old were you the first time you did mushrooms?
I think I was probably 20 years old. I was always kind of apprehensive about anything besides marijuana. And it was with comedians, San Francisco, myself, Rory Scovel, Scott Moran, some other friends. Rory thought he was dead, and I had a pretty decent time. It was fun.
All right, good. Yeah, and then now the first time you had sex.
First time I had sex, I was 18 years old and on the floor of, in the house of my parents' house with the lady that would end up becoming my first wife. So I feel like it was a bad decision. But I also got my son from her. So I guess it turned out to be a positive experience in the end. That would be my first time.
Was it a planned experience? Did it just happen? Have you been dating a while?
We've been dating a little bit. We've been going on a few dates. We were high school sweethearts.
What a gentleman you are, marrying your high school sweetheart. How sweet is that?
Yeah, we didn't stay together. I fucked a bunch since then.
I am sure you did, sir. I am sure you did.
Ralph. You said it like maybe you don't believe it.
No, though. I believe you as much as I believe in Hammerhead Jackson. That's how much. Whoa. I believe. You are the host of the Getting Better podcast. The new show, A Tale Dark and Grim, is out. Hopefully Harley Quinn will be back soon. Golden Arm, the movie, the wrestling movie with a female, not wrestling, sorry, arm wrestling movie about female arm wrestlers, which is kind of like a modern take on Over the Top with more comedy, is out on Netflix now, I believe, as well. And you're at Ron, F-U-N-C-H on Instagram, Ron Funch on Instagram. Anything else that you want to plug?
If people like playing video games, come hang out with me on Twitch, Ron_Funches. We just play games, hang out, smoke weed, watch wrestling. It's pretty chill vibes. We talk about snacks all the time. That's about it.
What's your favorite snack?
Oh, I mean, we talk about snacks that I can't eat because I'm healthy now. So I don't really get that many snacks. But my favorite thing to talk about is the mythical fresh Choco Taco. No one usually finds a fresh Choco Taco, but I feel like they're beautiful and amazing. I love a Choco Taco. I love novelty ice creams in general. That's one of my dreams for the future, is to retire from comedy and just make like homemade novelty ice creams, like, push pops, Choco Tacos, but like they're all homemade. Maybe they got infused with weed on some of them. I think it's a beautiful idea.
I think it's a beautiful idea. Yeah. Why not? I mean, also, maybe you could work with like Ben and Jerry's and come out with a custom flavor of your own. Why not?
I love that. I love that idea.
Especially now that you're healthy. Maybe you put like it, maybe it's an oat milk one or something that's not as bad for you.
I do like a good oat milk ice cream or a coconut based ice cream, because then you get extra coconut flavor. You put that with the chocolate, it's pretty damn good.
You know what I just saw that's crazy? And Shannon, I want to ask you if you would have this, okay? It's a plant-based ice cream, but I don't understand the science behind it, but they inject the genetic code of dairy, so it tastes just like ice cream, but it's been modified scientifically to taste more like ice cream. It's vegan, 100% vegan. Would you have it, Shannon?
So I don't have a problem with vegan ice creams. Like, I'm fine with the available, with what's available. But if it's the genetic code of dairy, your body doesn't react well to dairy. It causes inflammation in most people. So
there's no lactose in it. No lactose in it whatsoever.
But if it's the same genetic code, I feel like that it's just adding more fake shit that shouldn't be going into your body.
I agree with you, Shannon. I feel like when you're messing too hard, if you can't find some natural based vegan ice cream, don't get in there with a microscope and make it. That's not what I'm looking for.
Are you vegan right now, Ron? No, are you?
No, I just open to things. I just try to be healthy. So sometimes I'm like, oh, let's take a little break from meat right now, or let's do this, let's do that. We just try to keep it in balance. But no, not maybe. Who knows what the future may hold, but not currently.
What was the hardest thing to give up in terms of dietary?
I was just a big soda guy. I loved the Cherry Coke. I was a big fan of Cherry Cokes and a big fan of Philly cheesesteaks. So
that's got to be. But you can kind of have a sort of healthy Philly cheesesteak.
No, I mean, I will have one maybe like on a cheat day, but I'm not trying to half-ass a Philly cheesesteak. I mean, or we'll just go with these like turkey meatballs or whatever.
I love turkey meatballs. Yeah. I prefer turkey meatballs, to be honest with you.
No, they're delicious. My wife makes these Thai turkey meatballs in my meal plan with a peanut sauce. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. I actually I hate Impossible Burgers and Beyond Burgers. Give me a fucking vegetable burger. I prefer a vegetable burger. I don't like the fake meat at all. It feels too icky.
No, I agree with you. I like a nice bean, like a black bean burger. I
feel good shit.
A good seasoned black bean burger, I know what I'm getting. I don't need you to try to fake it with me. I understand some people prefer it, but I like to, if you're going to eat vegetables, eat vegetables.
I agree. Couldn't agree more.
Fake meat. I don't understand it, but.
Now, James, your plugs.
Eat More Real Meat is my new website. The James Mattern on Instagram. This is the weirdest segue to plugs ever. It was the best. It was like,
sorry.
It's all good. The James Mattern on Instagram. The Commissioner of Comedy Podcast. It's my comedy passion nerd podcast. Got a new podcast dropping in the next couple of weeks called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing with my boy Shuli, where we interview comics about bombing and their early jokes and all that shit. And I believe I can announce it. November 12th, it looks like we're finally putting out the Check Spot album. It's finally coming the fuck out. Me doing stand-up while people pay their bills and answering a drunk audience's questions while they do math. So fucking dropping. Bam, baby.
All right, Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. So we have all kinds of interesting people, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars come on and they tell their stories about their worst date experiences, street fights they've been in, and experiences with the paranormal.
All right, and I'm going to say this, we guess every week. To me, there's no question. Don't answer Ron with any sort of facial expression, but I think Ron 100% believes in ghosts. Shannon?
I am not 100% sure. I am
a good deadpan look, by the way. You got a very good deadpan look. It looks like his screen is frozen.
I am split 50-50. I'm going to say yes, but I'm split 50-50.
He says no. All right, Ron, you can breathe and let us know the answer.
I mean, I don't. What definition of ghosts are you going with? Which I guess right now that tells you your answer right away. Me answering like that. I like believing in more things than less things, basically. Right. Okay. I like believing whatever's fun. Do I believe in like that there could be ghosts and stuff walk around? Yeah. The aliens and stuff? Sure. Why not? It's more fun, spirits and fairies and stuff. Let's do it. Narwhals and things, let's have at it. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yes.
No otherwise. Why not? There we go. I knew I was right. So James, you are wrong, James.
You but I still celebrate James. It, so it counts for me. I'm just like a political party.
Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast with the founder of Juice Press comes out every Monday. And I never pushed this, but I'm going to push it again now. My book that hit top 100 on Amazon, The 100% Guaranteed Guide to Weight Loss and Fitness, is only 2 pages long. Chapter 1, page 1, Eat Less. Page 2, Work Out More, and the rest of the book is blank. And we sold thousands of that stupid book. So thank you, everyone that bought that. We might as well play an Outkast song because we end the show every week with a song. Why don't you pick an Outkast song at thestrshow.com/playlist? What do you want to hear? Let's see how much better they are than the Beatles.
Okay, let's just go with old school ones. Go with Elevators. I love that song.
All right, we'll add that to the playlist. Dude, honestly, it would be fun to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll see everyone next week on the SDR Show.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.